right. Hi, everyone. We are so excited today to be joined by Andrea Libros. Andrea is a business coach for entrepreneurial women, like many interior designers out there. And she's also the author of the book, She Thinks Big, as well as the host of the podcast, She Thinks Big. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I am super excited to hear you and Shayna together jive as those big picture thinkers, entrepreneurial women. So Shayna, I'm going to let you take it away and kick us off.
Andrea, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
We connected at High Point when we were kind of speaking together at Luann's event. And I have to say, my big aha moment being in that room was being like, wow, there are so many other problems that owners are experiencing that maybe is unlike myself that I haven't thought about. A lot of it centering around mindset, but I thought, wow, so interesting. Let's get on here and have a conversation to hear your perspective on some of these other challenges, what your superpowers are, and some tips to help us along the way in the journey. So I would love for you to kind of share, when you are working with interior designers, what are the top problems and challenges that they are coming to you with? What would you say is the chronic thing flooding through the industry right now?
I would say that it's probably not what they think. Okay. So when someone comes to me and I'm on a call with them and they know something's not right, and I try to get to what is not right, they are coming to me with things like, my system's back end is in disarray. These are things that you guys help with. I have no time. I'm not sure of my numbers. My onboarding process should be better. I'm not good at communicating with my client. I don't have enough clients. I have too many clients to support what my back end is, right? So all of that is very, very, very real. They are all very important and they 100% need to be addressed. And then there's the and. What really is going on from a 30,000 foot view? So you guys are experts at getting in the weeds with them and creating these systems. You want this thing to flow. That needs to flow. However, if we go way up in the sky, the 30,000 foot view, what I think is really going on is that their vision of what their business potentially could be, and I like to say this is like the Disney princess or Wicked version where you can wave a magic wand. If I gave you a magic wand to wave, or you could sprinkle magic fairy dust over your business, what do you envision? Like, what could it be? So they all have some vision, although it's harder for some than others, but there is a vision. It is not aligned right now with the actions you're taking, or you're not taking actions to make that vision a reality. So I see this sort of disconnect between vision and action.
So basically, you're saying that the problem is them.
The problem is them. They are the problem.
They are the problem, centering around their kind of blaming finger. We did this on a different podcast. Where's the finger going? Put the finger down.
Put the finger down.
They kind of do this, point the finger down.
Yep.
And it's, this is the problem in all these different buckets that centers around how this business is working. And mostly, I find they blame the people.
They blame the people.
I mean, some people do know it's process, but usually the first thing is the people around them are just not operating correctly.
Yep.
When, just like you said, it centers around them. At the 30,000 foot view, at the top of the 30,000 foot pyramid,
yep,
stands you as the leader, and everything falls underneath that bad boy. And it's you. I'm excited to dive into how the heck you are fixing this, Andrea, because let me just tell you, for me, that's never been my problem. I've always pointed the finger at myself, 100% always, and I think that has really served myself in leadership and growth. But now, in supporting everything that goes under this person, mm-hmm, who's standing at 30,000 feet, to me, it's a pretty chronic issue that they point the finger down instead of going up. So how the heck are you solving this, Andrea?
They do the finger. I love the finger. The finger, yes. The finger, right. Sometimes I'll ask, okay, what's getting in the way of you X, Y, and Z? And a lot of times, like, they will admit that they're probably the bottleneck or they're probably the problem. However, pouring into yourself as the leader is not always accepted, or they don't recognize that they need to do some work on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
And potentially get to all the other things that are below. So again, I'm not going to negate that the below needs to be addressed.
100%.
But they also think that they can kind of buy their way to solving the problem by having all of the things underneath them. And they don't necessarily want to put resources, time, energy, money towards themselves. Okay. My challenge number one is to get them to recognize that, yes, you need to put your resources towards the bookkeeper and the VA and the procurement person. Yes. And you need to put resources into yourself because you are the leader or the visionary. So what I do sometimes is ask them, what do they want to be doing? Which is a pretty basic question. And they can answer that. They want to be the creative genius. You listener out there, I know you want to be the creative genius. You want to probably be somewhat client facing. You want some client time. You want to be the one whose vision becomes a reality of whatever project you're working on. You want to be that person. So if we look at, I have like the five roles pyramid, which I think you guys have something similar, but if it's visionary, leader, manager, implementer, doer, those are the kind of how I define five roles. You want to be the visionary and the leader. You don't want to be the manager or the implementer or the doer. So cool. But how are you going to be an effective visionary or a leader? Even if we get all of the doer, implementer, and manager stuff taken care of, do you know how to be in that leadership position? Do you know how to be in that visionary position? To be in that position and do it well, it takes a lot of belief. So now I'm going to go to my belief pitch here. So saying you believe that you can be the visionary and the leader and actually being the visionary and the leader are two different things. You know, it's kind of like, yes, saying it's easier than making it happen. So in order to make it happen, what we really, really have to drill down on are, what are your thoughts on a daily basis? What are you thinking?
And I'm going to cut you in there and question this next, because I think, yes, it's belief, but it's that positive thinking and regardless in the storm, being able to be a positive, uplifting leader that drives the ship and shows up. And again, that's in the finger again, being able to point up, but not just that, in taking accountability and taking situations that are really challenging and being like, oh, and reactive and firing and oh my God, and da da da. No, being the leader who, while you know you should have the awareness that your team is feeling like that, you show up, take a deep breath and lift your team up and have them leave you being re-inspired, believing in you that you got them. And I'm going to share this with you. So in our team meetings, we end that structure in what we call whoop whoops. And Evelyn, you don't even know this, and I'm going to share this because in the chaos of the day, I didn't get to share this positive message that I got from one of our team members. Can't wait. So we go around the room, we share whoop whoops, whether it's for yourself, you feel like you're on it, or whether it's for a team member, or you crushed it with a client. And after that meeting, I get this message from Mara, one of our administrative assistants. Hi, Shayna. It took a while for me to dig in deep for my whoop whoop, but want to give it to you. I'm grateful for your time, support, and guidance throughout my time as an admin for client name. Also, I admire your leadership and the way that you handle challenges. Thanks, Shayna. Leadership.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I have been on one talking about how the only reason I am able to show up as a leader this way in a very extremely challenging year, the most challenging business year to date, honestly, is that I have a routine that shows up for me every single day. And this fitness journey and some rules and boundaries of not looking in my email before my working time and really shutting off at an earlier before five time to be home with my kids and really not working unless maybe with the exception they're in bed, but really trying to spend that time with husband and really trying to commit to that one lunch a week that we're business owners and we can do it and I can have lunch with my husband once a week. And because of that commitment, I feel the best I've ever felt. And through the hardest year of business, I've been able to show up and we've grown our team. We've grown 50% this year. Now we're 30 people in climbing. It doesn't mean that it wasn't hard, but I did put myself first and that helped trickle down through all this leadership. And I find it to be kind of a chronic problem because when you go from one to many and you want this big dream, there is this reality check that there is a lot of change you have to do with yourself.
Yes.
Throughout that. And that's hard, consistent work. So that's just for me. That's how I fell into routine. But would you agree that when you really focus on you, you see your leaders' businesses just reflect thereafter? Is that kind of the transformations you see with your clients?
Yes. And I would say, though, one thing I would disagree with you on, actually.
Okay. Ooh, love it.
It's not all about positive thinking.
Okay.
You don't have to always stay positive. Now, that does not mean that you have to be negative, but you have to be at neutral. So if you think of a number line, there's the negative numbers, there's zero, and then there's the positive numbers. You have to be at zero or above. So it's okay to say, this is hard and that's okay, or that was unfortunate and that's okay. So it doesn't mean that you're trying to flip every situation into some positive. I call it like polypositive. We don't need to be polypositive, but we have to be at a place of neutral in order to approach something in a way that's going to get us the result we want.
Love that. And I do think it is great to, though, always try to find the positive lesson or something out of it.
Yeah, I always say there's no fails. We're either winning or learning.
Totally. Example, this week we had an assistant give us no week's notice. No, not even two, even though it's in her contract. This is personally going on in my family and no week's notice. I'm immediately resigning. Not great.
Yeah.
2 weeks is challenging enough to find the right person, retrain in, and make a seamless transition.
Yep.
So we have capacity. It's okay. It's still immediate on any level is not okay. Inside of that, though, what I was saying to Samantha, I said, this was a person that we had given recently a $4 raise. And I said, you know, annual raises are coming up and at least we recouped $4 that could be covered to and swiped to someone else. So there is that. Yes, I totally agree. Neutral zone. This is sucky. There's no way around looking at a no week's notice. And that's okay. We'll get through it. And that is what it is. And we'll be stronger on the other side, but we recovered $4 of a raise that could be reallocated and someone's getting more money now. Awesome.
Yes. So good.
That makes me feel good for someone else.
Yeah.
And you build muscle through those times. And this has not been our first rodeo at doing that. So every kind of time, I do feel like there's a little bit more muscle and resilience in finding how to stay neutral.
Yep.
It takes time. And I don't know if you've quantified that. When you meet with people, I'm assuming that they're all over. It's negative, neutral, and positive, the whole spectrum of this thing. And so I'm assuming you're kind of stage one on how you're working with someone is here's how I help you stay neutral in those challenging times.
Yep.
So what would you say to someone who always drops down into the negative and is only lifting to neutral? Maybe not even achieving positive yet, because that's their kind of frequency. It's a rare gift to be on the high side.
Mm-hmm.
What are you telling them to implement that when that feeling's emerging, You want to be there. What do we do?
So I think the first thing that I always say is, can we get to a place where we agree on what the end all goal here is? What is our end all goal? And some of those are going to be super clearly defined because we've done what I call this vision into action process, and we've created a plan and a roadmap for that. So some of those things are pretty obvious, like where we're headed, but then other things are not really written as goals. They're more feelings. Like, how do we want to feel about this situation? What would make it a home run? So whether it's like a concrete thing or it's more of a feeling, we establish that. And then in order to kind of get to that place of neutral, okay, you have to kind of create what I call a belief bridge. So this is something that I think is a really useful coaching tool that you listeners could implement today, right away, in order to help you either figure out what to do in the situation that like Shayna just described, or figure out how do I get myself into that visionary leadership position? There's no big or small, whatever the situation is, big or small. So first off, I like to say, picture a little wooden bridge, an old school little bridge that goes over a river. Okay. So in my brain, this is like a rounded bridge with wooden planks.
Same.
Oh, mine was on chains. Like I was swinging, you know, like Shrek.
Ooh, that's fun.
Okay.
She went fun. I went structure as well.
I think the key here is it has like planks or distinct pieces of material that make the bridge.
We're going 2x4s. All right.
I'm there.
Okay. And then the bridge is going over what I call the river of misery. So one bank of the river of misery is called the land of impossible. And the other bank is called the land of inevitable. And you're right now, you're on the land of impossible. And this is where the current belief lives, the belief that feels really true right now, such as this will never work. I don't know how. It's definitely the people, kind of going back to what Shayna said. I'm not the kind of person who does that. Whatever this belief is over there, and usually they're big kind of general things, honestly. We can't afford it. That's another great one. This isn't how I should be spending my money, whatever it is. But then across the river is really the result you want, the belief you wish you could hold, but can't yet genuinely believe. Okay, so that's like the land of inevitable. This is where this belief is fully integrated, where the thing you want feels certain, achievable, normal. This is where you're kind of saying, of course I can do this. I create results. This is who I am now. I take Fridays off. I have a system in place where whoever handles all of the documentation, whatever that is. But between these two banks is this river of misery. And this is the emotional discomfort of growth. This is where doubt is floating and second guessing is floating around and fear and the urge to quit and all of those things. And most people try to jump straight across, or they zip line from the land of impossible to the land of inevitable. But here's the problem. The nervous system won't do that. It can't believe what it doesn't yet believe. There is no zip line. There is no leap. There's no magic fairy dust that makes all of this instant. And I think sometimes when they come to you, probably they are looking for this instant solution.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they start working with you, they're like, it's been a week and this is still whatever. You're like, hey, people, it takes more than a week to make this all happen. So this is why we build. This is why we build this bridge, okay? So the belief bridge, it's made of planks, and each plank is really a new thought, and it's just slightly more helpful than the one before it. So it's not positive. This is where it goes to, like, it doesn't have to be polypositive thought. It doesn't have to be inspirational and motivational. It just has to be more useful and more possible. I'll give you an example. I'll never be able to grow this business to over $1 million. Given all the things in my life and all the resources that I have or don't have, I'm never going to be able to grow this business. That could be over here on this land of impossible. First plank, first new thought. I'm open to learning how. So that's like, okay, I mean, I guess you, Shayna and Evelyn and Andrea, you're telling me it's possible. So all right, I'm open to learning how. and probably most people listening to this podcast, you wouldn't be listening if you weren't in a learning mode. Then the next plank. Some people have figured this out. I might be able to also. So see how that's just like slightly more than the first plank. Then you get to what I might call the land of possible. This is kind of the middle of the bridge. This is either where like in Evelyn's bridge, this is sort of where the dip is.
Mm-hmm.
On my bridge and Shana's bridge, it's kind of like the peak of the bridge, the land of possible. Maybe this could work for me. Then you go to the next plank. I'm learning the skills I need. Next plank. I'm becoming a much quicker and confident decision maker. Next plank. I create growth and I know how to do this. And when you get to that, I know how to do this, you're at the land of inevitable. Of course, this is going to happen. So I just gave you a bridge that only has, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 planks. When I'm working with someone, it's going to have a lot more planks. Okay. I just condensed it.
Sure.
But each plank has to feel believable. And if it's too big of a jump, you're going to fall back in the river.
Yeah. Are you an interior designer with a burning question or a business challenge you just can't crack? We want to hear from you. You can now leave us a voicemail with your question at fordesignerbusiness.com or check the show notes of this episode for a direct link. No question is too big or too small, whether it's about your clients, business growth, or the creative process. Your question could be featured on an upcoming episode and you'll get real, actionable advice. Plus, you'll be entered to win a free one-on-one strategy session. So don't be shy, hit that voicemail link, share what's on your mind, and let's tackle it together. We can't wait to hear from you.
So I'm going to give you another real life example. So working with a client, a designer, she has just agreed to work with me. We just did this vision into action intensive. So it's not like we have this big, huge, long-term relationship. We do this intensive. And as part of that, she has Voxer access to me. You guys know what Voxer is, right? If you don't know and you're listening, it's kind of like a walkie-talkie situation. And she had never used it before. But I was like, hey, listen, this is going to be your new best friend for the next 2 weeks. And I want you to use it. You have access to me. I want you to use it. And I want you to run by me the thoughts that you're having. And she's like, I don't know if I can do this. I said, I think you can. I'm going to help you do it too, because I'm going to be boxering you and asking you what you're thinking about. And over the last 3 days, we have gone from the land of impossible to the land of inevitable. And the decision here was, I don't know if I can ever get my books in place. I don't know if anyone else out there could do as good a job as I can. My husband's a finance guy, and I mean, we should just let him do it. That was over here impossible. But there was some like inkling, because I said to her, do you really want to be discussing this at the kitchen table? Is this really helpful that your nights are consumed by looking at your numbers in your business? Is this how you want your marriage to go? Yes, maybe they're capable, but is this really what you want? And we have gone through now getting her to the place where she needs to hire out this particular part of her business. Sure, we can have some discovery calls with different people, find the best fit. We can ask all the questions. We can run this through your internal processing system by talking about it. And we can move you over this belief bridge to this morning, she messaged me and said, okay, I signed on the dotted line. I did the DocuSign. They're hired.
Cool.
But 3 days ago, she was like, I don't know if this is a good thing I need to spend on. I should be able to handle this myself. So that's an example of how we go through this. And it doesn't happen overnight.
So there's something I was thinking about as you were sharing the whole bridge. My take on this is a mindset bridge.
Mm-hmm.
This is the belief system bridge. If you're struggling to believe and you are in the land of impossible, that is exactly what you need to do. Shift this thinking.
Yep.
And I just had a conversation with one of our clients. It's actually her husband's business, but the same exact scenario. She's like, look at my dining room table. He just won't give up the payroll and the financials and like just won't let it go. And this is just my life. Every 2 weeks, this is my dining table. For me, there's a other type of person where I feel like the beliefs are there, but it's the habits of the person that need to change.
Yep.
it's kind of like needing to go to AA, but you got to get your beliefs in order to believe you have a problem first.
Correct.
Or that you can achieve this thing. And that's the group circle, whatever they put around you when they're like, you don't think you have a problem. And like the whole community comes around you. They're like, no, you have a problem.
Yep.
And then at AA, you've got to change habits and you've got to detox first, which is terrible feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to refine your groove and start feeling good in a new routine. And then you establish these healthy habits and you start thriving. I think it starts with climb the belief system bridge. And then, I don't know, something happens along the way on the bridge, but then we got to go to AA or something like that afterwards to start locking in some habits, you know, along the way to maintain the beliefs to get you to Never Never Land.
Yep.
You have to lock in, but it's so interesting. It's something I never think about because beliefs for me are a strength.
Yeah, it's not the hard part for you.
Well, how to use this really is name that impossible thought, but then also name the inevitable belief. So that's not hard for you, Shayna, to get to that inevitable belief thing. And that's usually actually not the hardest part. To be honest, you can name the impossible thought and you can name the inevitable belief. That's not hard at all. Locate, though, the midpoint, that land of possible. That's kind of the third step to locate the midpoint. This is the neutral territory. This is where the belief that does not feel good, but feels available.
Right.
Then you've got to kind of create, this is the hard part. You've got to create those micro beliefs, or if we want to relate this to habit forming things, what are the 5 to 12, I'll call it micro beliefs that are going to move you one step at a time across. That's kind of the fourth step, build the planks. Then the fifth one, kind of go back to your AA analogy, is practice the next plank only. So you do not rehearse the inevitable belief yet. So this is like, you don't have to go to the poly positive, right? You don't have to rehearse that inevitable belief yet. What you do have to rehearse or practice is the next believable thought only. And you've got to move then, step 6, is one plank at a time. The bridge is really crossed through repetition, not speed. So sometimes my clients will say, one of the best parts about coaching or having access to a strategic thought partner who might help you make these decisions is that it allows for rehearsing and practice. Over Voxer, the client over the last 3 days, she has been rehearsing these beliefs by just talking it out. And actually sometimes it happens like, oh, I think I just solved my own problem.
Yeah.
So that's sort of in the rehearsal. There's a reason why AA, like you can be in it forever. You have to keep rehearsing.
Oh yeah. You have to maintain that, the routine, the accountability.
Yep.
And I think something so interesting with you, and I don't know how you do it, because I certainly know clients that would love to have an open line of communication where you are chatting back and forth. There is no possible way I could ever do that for someone. But we have loads of clients, and I think as you're saying it, if you don't have that team or many people that you can get those thoughts in your brain out, and like you said, sometimes when you're getting them out, it's like business therapy, talk therapy in a sense. You can solve on your own, or you have that strategic partner like Evelyn that's like, let me just recenter you here. It's been like 2 days or whatever the expectation is. I know you're feeling this. You have right to feel this, but this is where we're going. And having that open line in a very lonely and also very emotionally challenging industry. And it's another thing a client shared. She's like, I know it's me and I need to get better at not absorbing these people's thoughts and feelings. And I just need to have like no feelings. It's very, very hard not to embody that. Very, very hard to not overthink. If you're in a spiral, then you have the people struggling to sleep because they're just spinning in their thoughts. I don't even know the rest of your program, but simply just knowing that someone could work with you and just have this open line. Deb Ellis, if you are listening, you better be listening. Deb Ellis, work with Andrea, please. And have her help you be kind of working through those thoughts. Hannah Lowe, I know you're listening. Same thing too. It's challenging to simmer find those beliefs and lock in. And I myself could never provide that level of open communication like Andrea does that level of work in her programs. I think it's phenomenal. It takes a unique individual to be able, on your side of the world, Andrea, be able to even offer that to someone. Therapists don't even do that. You got to schedule that time. You show up.
I know. Well, I always say that because sometimes people say, well, is this kind of like therapy? Not really, because you have access to me. It's not just like our appointments Wednesday at 3 o'clock. You cannot talk to me before 3 o'clock or after 4 o'clock, right? You've got that time.
Now, let me ask you, Andrea, one thing. If I said, hey, I think this is what their routine needs to be operationally speaking in their business, and they need to commit to this and show up to this, because as a result, their whole assistant team below them and business is going to succeed. Yeah, I know you have your mindset piece, but this is what I need on my side.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to layer that into the accountability of that kind of Voxer?
100%.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, me too.
I like to say it like everybody benefits from them working on themselves. Your whole team is 100% going to benefit because you're showing up in a different space. And then your family benefits. I like to say that too. Your spouse is going to benefit. Everybody benefits.
Oh, yeah. Everyone benefits around you. You yourself are in the center of your world. You're the center of your world. You're the sun. So we got to shine bright and nurture everyone around you.
Yep. And sometimes I'll sit in on team meetings and I'm happy to do that just to see how this dynamic all works. And are you leading?
Right. So talk to us about these programs. We'll, of course, be linking all of Andrea's stuff, but the lowest financial investment you could make working with you and what that duration looks like, and then go to the moon, as we call it, of how much into outer space are you willing to go with these guys?
Okay, so there's really four ways I work with people. Number one would be I do just what I call power hour sessions, which is just kind of a 1 hour session. In those, we really just sort of tackle a problem. And I say, we could do two of those. But then if it's more than two, we need to talk about working together more. Because I'm not going to solve anything in 1 hour. I'm going to solve something, but not the bigger picture. I'm going to definitely solve something, 1,000%.
You'll have your next plank. Yeah.
You will have your next plank. I can guarantee a plank.
Defined and not solved, you know?
Right. I can guarantee movement of a plank, or even the bridge will be built. But we might not get across it.
Yeah.
Then I do what I call these vision into action or activator intensives, where that is us sitting down for a 4 hour block of time. There's some work before it we meet, and then there's work after it. We meet before and after as well. But in that 4 hour block of time, I help you by asking hopefully very strategic and pointed questions. I help you download what your vision is for this business with the magic fairy dust. And then we turn it into action steps. What do you need to be doing this year, this quarter, this month, this week, et cetera? And we get into the real nitty gritty and we make sure that this year, this quarter, this month all align with your vision of where you want the business to be in a year, in 3 years, in 10 years. And this is not just about business. This is about you as a whole human. So we take into account who you are, if you've got kids, what your family situation is. That is all fair game. It's not just about your business. That's another way I work with people. And then I have two kind of ongoing coaching containers. I have a container that's a 6-month commitment where you are probably in the process of maybe hiring your first person. And then I've got a container where it's a year-long container where you've got almost full access to me. I say you can consider me almost like an employee. We use Voxer. You have me in your back pocket at all times. And that we meet regularly over Zoom. But when you're in that container that I call Ascension, we also do 2 in-person retreats a year, which are really both fun as well as productive. So those ongoing containers kind of depend where you're at in your business. But Power Hour, Activator Intensive, and then 2 ongoing coaching containers.
Awesome. Well, Andrea, just to kind of like leave us off with our last thought, for that person who heard you and says, yes, I want to be the visionary and the leader, but I don't feel like I'm there yet, what's that last thing that you would say to them to get them to just feel that first plink of belief?
I would say being an entrepreneur, which is what you are, okay? Being an entrepreneur is really a journey in personal development disguised as an entrepreneurial adventure. So your business is only going to grow as fast as you grow and as fast as you really start to understand how you're thinking. And belief is really structural just as much as the VA and the marketing and the operations. Belief needs as tall a seat or as big a seat at the table as do all those other pieces.
Love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us and with our listeners. And thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up today's conversation with Andrea Libros. We hope you found her insights on mindset, leadership, and building belief bridges as inspiring as we did. Andrea reminded us that real growth starts from within and that every business breakthrough begins with a shift in how we think and lead.
Andrea's approach to mindset coaching is all about getting unstuck and taking confident action. Whether it's letting go of old habits, building new routines, or just believing in what's possible, her Belief Bridge framework is such a powerful tool for anyone ready to level up.
If you want to learn more from Andrea, be sure to check out her podcast, She Thinks Big, or visit her website at andrealibros.com. We'll have all of her links in the show notes section of this episode so you can connect and dive deeper into her work.
As always, if you're looking for more resources and practical strategies, be sure to join our email list at fordesignerbusiness.com/subscribe. We'll send you ideas and support straight to your inbox.
And if you'd like to talk through your business plans, get feedback, or just need a sounding board, schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com. We would love to hear from you.
And don't forget, we want to discuss your burning questions on this podcast. Please take a moment to leave us a quick, anonymous voice note with your question directly at fordesignerbusiness.com or at the link in the show notes for this episode.
If you're enjoying the show, please help us reach more designers just like you by taking a quick moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen.
Remember, your growth is the foundation for everything you build, and we're here cheering you on. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.